Well, actually, yesterday, indeed, the pretrial chamber one has referred Malawi to the Security Council and to the Assembly of States Parties to the Rome Statute, so the treaty founding of the ICC. Because of non-cooperation in the issue of arresting and surrendering Mr. Omar al-Bashir to the court when he visited Malawi, today the pretrial chamber one also issued a decision informing the United Nations Security Council and the Assembly of States Parties about Chad's non-cooperation in the arrest and surrender of Omar al-Bashir as well.
What does the ICC want the UN Security Council to do in these instances with both Malawi and Chad?
Well, the general rule is that in case of non-cooperation with the ICC, the judges can refer the matter to the Security Council if the referral of the situation was by the Security Council, like it's the case for Sudan and for Libya, and also to the Assembly of States Parties, so the Assembly of the States who are members of the ICC or of the Rome Statute. And that's in order to ensure that the states will cooperate with the court and will allow the court to exercise its mandate and to fulfill its duties in matter of bringing justice and helping in building a lasting peace in these places. So this is what the Rome Statute authorizes the judges to do. Now it is for the Assembly of States Parties as well as for the Security Council to take the measures that they deem appropriate in order to ensure this cooperation that will allow the ICC to function and to fulfill its mandate. So it's not for the ICC to decide what measure might be appropriate. It is for the Security Council and for the Assembly of States Parties.
Critics of the ICC say that the ICC should have warned both Chad and Malawi ahead of President Bashir's visit, and that failure of the ICC to do that in itself undermines its work to ensure that those are upheld.
Let's clarify how the procedure was done. When there was information that Mr. al-Bashir might visit Chad and might visit Malawi, the registry of the court has contacted the authorities of Chad and of Malawi by a note verbal, and they requested them to clarify if these authorities would see any problem, any obstacle that would prevent them from implementing the warrants of arrest against Mr. al-Bashir for genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. And so both of them, both of the countries, were first contacted by the registry of the court ahead of the visit of Mr. al-Bashir. After the visit of Mr. al-Bashir, the ICC judges had requested the Malawi and the Chad to present observations about this failure to implement the warrant of arrest. They presented these observations, and they were basically relying on the position of the African Union and presenting some legal arguments that the chamber has at the end considered as, overruled or not acceptable, because the chamber indicated that there is no immunity for head of states if the warrant of arrest are issued by an international tribunal for an international crime. So there is no immunity for head of states in such conditions, and by way of consequences, Malawi and Chad did not have any conflict of obligations between their obligations to cooperate with the court and the respect due to the immunity of head of states. And this means that they cannot use the argument that Mr. al-Bashir, as a head of state, cannot be arrested, and they cannot use the Article 98 of the Rome Statute, because they need to bring the issue of the immunity of Mr. al-Bashir to the ICC judges, and then the judges might decide whether or not to continue requesting Chad and Malawi to arrest him. Okay? Which they didn't do, but they have been contacted ahead of the visit, and after the visit they were requested to submit observations, and the arguments that were used in their observations were not convincing for the judges, who established, based on a long jurisprudence of different tribunals, that there is no immunity for head of states when we are speaking about international crime and when the prosecution or the warrant of arrest is issued by an international tribunal or court.
There were concerns that upholding the ICC arrest warrant invariably undermines regional stability, peace, and good neighborliness. So the ICC still stand by it despite concerns raised about Africa's unity to ensure peace and stability in the sub-region as well as the entire continent?
First of all, this is not a judicial argumentation. This is a purely political argumentation, and the ICC judges and the court in general can only apply the law and the legal rules. We cannot, as a court, as a judicial institution, take into consideration political questions. That's on the first level of the question. On the second level of the question, I would say that it is very important in building any lasting peace to have justice done and seen to be done. And it is very important for all victims to feel that there is justice, that their rights are guaranteed, because if not, how would you stop the cycle of violence and the cycle of vengeance? It's necessary to have the truth established before fair and impartial judges in order to allow everyone, whether they are supportive of the suspect or whether they are against the suspect, to be convinced that indeed justice has been done and to settle and accept the lasting peace in this case. So, in fact, we should never put justice as in contradiction with peace. In fact, on the contrary, a lasting peace can be built only when justice is done and only when truth is established beyond any reasonable doubt before impartial judges and after a fair proceeding.